Welcome to another episode of Working with Purpose. Our show is dedicated to exploring the intersection of faith and business and looking at leadership through the body of Christ. My name is David Stark. I'm joined with my partner today, Justin Royer, and we have a special guest, Mark Miller. We want to welcome you to the show today, Mark. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me.
I've had a chance to work with Mark at a company called Imagine IT, and we're going to dive a lot into that. But we first want to tell you, you can join this conversation at davidstarkcollective.com. You can also get us at Stark Collective on Twitter. Or remember, all of our podcasts are on iTunes. Just look under Working with Purpose. We'd love for you to listen to them there and give us reviews. We live on those great reviews. So anyway, we've been doing a series called What Is That? And we led from what is IoT, the Internet of Things, and that led us directly into cybersecurity, which we've just begun to talk about the last couple of weeks. And you heard us compare that to, because they are, a lot of the cybersecurity experts are, is the immunological system of the body. Last time we put forth the principles that they're actually using high level to guide what they're doing and how they actually go about that. Why? Because the human body is an organism that is able to not only remember what it fought before, have general abilities to fight things in general, but actually develop the capacity to fight threats that they haven't even seen before, which is exactly the interconnectivity reality of cybersecurity. But what I'm excited about is that Imagine IT is on the ground applying these principles all the time. And so Mark is one of the founders. There's three founders, and he's one of them. Imagine IT, they've been around for 20 some years now all together. And so, Mark, I'm really excited to dive in on this. But why don't you tell us a little more about yourself and about Imagine IT?
So like you said, we've been in the IT space here for 20 years. The changes that we've seen over those 20 years are just unbelievable, right?
Right.
Not only just from a security perspective, but just from the ability for people to work basically from anywhere. You know, we're working now with a cell phone that has the capacity that computers 15 years ago didn't even have, right? Which opens up a lot of great opportunities for businesses and for people to work and for all kinds of different things, but also opens up a lot of threats from kind of from a security basis. So, yeah, at Imagine IT, you know, we work with a lot of companies that are located here in the 12 county metro area. We support businesses that have offices in about 37 or 38 different states.
Great.
So, you know, there's just this interconnectivity, you know, and with the way technology is wired right now, you know, you can have a central office here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, have multiple offices in Houston and Denver and wherever, and it's almost like those people are sitting right in your office. So that interconnectivity is pretty amazing.
It's just huge in terms of what it means. And that's really what our overall show looks like, is that really we're much more like an agile human body because of interconnectivity rather than just money-making machines that are separate or independent from each other. So let me ask this, and that's before we dive into security – what have you seen developed in the last few years around this topic? So you've obviously watched not only this thing escalate, but so has the threat escalated.
Yeah, you know, I would say it's even escalated almost even more in the past year than it has over the past two or three years. You know, we've gone from this area, from this place where the first people who were doing hacking, right, the bad guys who are out there, they were doing it, and it was kind of like when they would do it, they would beat on their chest and they would show everybody how cool they were, and they would make it very obvious that, hey, I've hacked into your system and look at this, look how smart I am and how dumb you are.
Yeah.
And look at all the stuff that I've been able to steal and get from you, right? The scary thing now is that I think this dark community that's responsible for a lot of this stuff right now, they're not doing that. They're not open. They really want to hack into your system without you ever knowing.
Yes.
Collect data without you ever knowing, and then hold this data for ransom or sell this data to the dark web or do whatever they're going to do. But the more that they can do behind the scenes without you knowing, the better for them, right? Because they can continue to do it on and on and on. So that's the thing right now that's you know, the most scary. you know, you've read in the news a little bit about like North Korea, right?
Yes.
And they have this army of 6,000 plus of the smartest people that they have over there, cyber people that they have, who literally their role and responsibility is to generate money to finance and fund war efforts and missiles and all kinds of crazy stuff, right? That's scary, right? That's not just some very bright 13-year-old sitting in their basement trying to cause some havoc. This is an organized entity, dark army out there that's literally out there, and their role is to generate funds for their military. That's a whole nother level of crazy scary out there.
I hadn't thought about that until you just kind of mentioned it, but like cyber going from almost like a hobby type of, you know, cottage industry almost to something that's more organized and it's a bona fide quote unquote business,
right?
This is a machine or a large organized effort as opposed to just the people in their mom's basements doing something for fun.
Yeah. Super scary when you look at the kind of the scope of what that means, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and one other thing too, Mark, that I, heard or wanted to react to from what you said, in that, you know, in our past show, we talked about like predictions for 2018 in cybersecurity. And one of them was that, you know, we expect to see like 3 large scale breaches happen again that are impacting hundreds of millions of people, you know, like we've seen here in the recent past. And the analyst that put that forward basically said, you know, these have probably already occurred. They just aren't going to be made public until 2018. They might have happened a year ago or whatever.
Right.
And from your standpoint, is that something that, you know, do you buy into that type of prediction that says, you know, we've got a couple of major breaches that are yet to be acknowledged here in 2018?
And I think that's spot on. I think that the organizations, when those breaches come to light and people, and it becomes part of, you know, the mainstream media and everybody's going crazy about it, those breaches probably occurred 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Sure.
That's the scary thing right now is that the way that people have thought about defense and protecting your network from the bad guys has been kind of from a perimeter sort of approach, right? Where I'm trying to protect the threats from coming into the network.
Right.
You have to, I think in the way the world is right now, you have to be equally as concerned with what if they're already in, and what can I do if they're already in my network to discover them and then get them out. And that's a big piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get into that process a little bit later, because I know last week, for example, we all decided, I had both on my Apple and my PC, I had to download the fixes to whatever the Intel chip were, right? So I'm just making sure it's there and all that kind of stuff. It's like it comes real home when all of a sudden you've got to look at all your devices, right?
So right.
Right down to the chip level. But let's get on the solution side of this a little bit, Mark, because these principles are really helpful, I think, for any size business. And I just want to go through one by one and have you talk about it and what you see on the ground and what that one means.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So sure, that'd be great.
Let's start with heterogeneity, right? So this is the whole principle that if I've got multiple kind of diversity amongst what's happening in this whole arena, I can become more secure. Talk about what that means for cybersecurity.
I think it's an important first step, and I think a lot of times that first step is not taken by companies and organizations. You know, you really have to understand and have a full understanding of the assets that you have and why they're important and what's important, you know, because you just can't protect everything, right? So you have your core business data, you have business processes, you have intellectual property, whatever those things are, you need to really identify those and make sure that they're in a place and sort of in a structure surrounded by policies where they're going to be safeguarded, right?
Yeah.
I think the other part of that is not only just identifying kind of those assets and where they're at, but also what is your tolerance for downtime, right? Some of the assets you have, some of the business intellectual capital that you have, you could probably get away. A small business might be able to get away with not having access to that data for a couple of days, right? In other situations where the data is your lifeblood and nothing happens, your company just completely shuts down and comes to a screeching halt. Mm-hmm. When that data is unavailable, that's a completely different strategy that you build around that, right? So understanding those assets and then understanding the risk for downtime and the cost for downtime is a very necessary first step when you look at the, look at that. And I don't care if your business is a 10-person business running out of an office in Edina or whether it's a global entity with, you know, thousands of people across the globe. That should be sort of your core first step before you develop any security policy.
Gotcha. So what layers need what?
Yep.
Right? And being aware of that.
For sure.
Risks of each of those.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great. The second principle is modularity. And that, you know, I've known this for a long time in the human immune system, but tell me about modularity in cybersecurity.
Well, we mentioned it just a little bit before, but the great part of technology right now is everything is so interconnected, right?
Yes.
So it makes it super easy for me to talk to people and email people and share data and collaborate from, you know, people in different offices all over the globe can collaborate just like they're sitting in the same office. And that's awesome. But it also brings with it liability, right? So a lot of the defense systems that we have, like the firewalls and antivirus and some of those things, when those are also interconnected, when there's a breach of one of those systems, if those systems are all interconnected, one breach in the system can also cause a shutdown of the rest of those also, right?
Yes.
So when you look at a layered security system, sometimes it's really convenient to set these things up. So your firewall also drives your antivirus, which also drives your scanning, which also drives, you know, a lot of different pieces. The problem with that is if those are all connected like a chain, one break in the chain breaks everything.
Right.
And that's a big problem, right? So you need to have, you need to build layers within your system, within your security planning, so that if one of those layers shuts down, you've got the other layers that are kind of backing up and are going to be there to protect it. So that the concept of modularity and having everything be interconnected, although it's wildly advantageous for businesses and small businesses, it's also a threat in that.
Absolutely. You actually, is it still true that physical modularity is important sometimes, Mark? In other words, obviously there's these firewalls, but sometimes you just need to have separate systems.
For sure. 100%.
Yep. That's what I wondered, because it seems like mission critical stuff would be like that.
Yep.
Great. Well, we got to take a break now. We've got four more principles we're going to cover on the backside. You've been listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer, and today with Mark Miller out of Imagine IT. We'll be right back.
Successful businesses today need to be flexible, responsive, and adaptive while being better connected than ever. The human body provides a good metaphor for what this looks like, and it's also the perfect illustration of how the church should function. Here on Working with Purpose, the conversation covers topics related to the intersection of faith and business and views leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. And you're invited to join the conversation. You can dialogue with David and Justin on these topics, sign up to receive blog posts, get updates on upcoming events, and more through their website, davidstarkcollective.com, or find them on Twitter, @StarkCollective. David and Justin are also available to speak on a variety of topics related to working with purpose, and will help you and your business go beyond discussing these concepts to putting them into action. Find out more by going to davidstarkcollective.com and open either the speaking or consulting pages of the platform. Now let's get back to part two of Working with Purpose.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer and today's guest, Mark Miller from Imagine IT. Just want to let you know, you can visit us anytime at davidstarkcollective.com. Find us on Twitter @StarkCollective and go to iTunes, Dave, right? And give us a good review.
We need all the reviews.
All the good reviews. Keep the bad ones
to
yourself.
Every week is sweeps week for us, actually.
That's right. It is. And this is no different because this is any other week. This is sweeps week. Hey, we've been talking, Mark, around principles that are important to cybersecurity. We went through two of them. Dave's ready for the third one. Are you ready for the third one?
I am.
Okay.
Okay.
This one's redundancy. So we've been over heterogeneity and modularity, but let's talk about redundancy, Mark, and how that applies in cybersecurity.
Yeah, you know, it's again, just kind of following up with the idea of layers, right, is that, like, for instance, backup your backup system, your data is the core of your business. It's kind of what you do. It's really sort of that crown jewel, right, that you're trying to protect. And having systems within what you do that are redundant. So you've got typically you'll have a copy of the data. You'll have a backup, you know, on-premise. That's awesome. That's great. Very handy for quick restores of your data and various things. But if you lose access to that data, if you have a fire, a theft, a flood, something like that happens, it's critical to have a redundant backup source, right? So people right now are storing things in the cloud, and there are actually ways from the cloud where you can spin up your environment from the cloud itself, which is even another layer of redundancy. So, again, I think it's important, as we talked about just a bit ago, to really identify how valuable those assets are. And a lot of the redundancies that we have are redundancies that mitigate your tolerance for risk, right?
Yes.
Do we need this thing right away? Do we need it if I have this thing rebuilt and I'm fully functional in 3 days? That's a different strategy. It's a different plan to kind of get to that spot.
You bet.
You also mentioned that, you know, hardware redundancy kind of within the system is important, and that's equally as important, right? Most of the servers, I think all of the servers right now that are out there in the environment today have built-in redundancies within the hardware package within the server itself.
Mm-hmm.
But even things like firewalls and switches, some of those things that are sort of form the background and the backbone of a network, those things should be redundant in most cases also.
Right, so it's not just one firewall. You might have been built two or three so that if one fails, you've got something else that's still working.
Yep, exactly. And there's a lot of intelligence built into the firewalls now, firewalls and switches and all kinds of things, so that if a firewall were to fail, it's not that some dude has to go running down the hallway and jump into the server closet and unplug one and unplug the other one in. Most of that is automated now so that mm-hmm. they can sort of sense a failure. And when a failure happens, it sort of happens automatically. And then your IT guys or whoever's responsible for that is notified on the back end that, hey, we've got an issue with firewall one. Everything's running right now on firewall two, so you're good to go, but let's get that first one fixed.
So you've got an automated dude that's running into the server room and unplugging and replugging.
You gotta love
like
it.
A little robot, like a Roomba.
Sort of. This is a Cybra. Though.
That's interesting. You know, last week we talked about like the perception of the cloud and how that's changed in, you know, people's minds. And like, this is the first year that I've been 100% cloud professionally. Like, I used to back up stuff on external hard drives mm-hmm. and all that jazz just because I felt that was safer. And then after a couple of hardware failures and laptops going down, like, never again. I mean,
right.
Everything for me data wise is going to be in the cloud. It feels so much more secure. Like, I think that those services can protect me way better than I could myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the cloud got a bad rap early because people were trying to apply the same security kinds of principles mm-hmm. to the cloud that they had when they had a server that was sitting in the back closet.
On-prem.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. it's a different – the cloud is unbelievably secure, but you have to treat it that way, right? There are different security protocols and procedures you have to use when you have your data stored in the cloud than when you have it stored in a closet down the hallway, right?
Right.
But it's unbelievably secure, and I think you're exactly right. I think right now it's probably more secure than having your server in the back hall of your closet right. where somebody could literally throw a brick through your window,
yeah.
run down there, open the door, and grab everything, right?
I mean, as a small business owner, it for sure is a great way for us to do it.
For sure.
Yeah, we couldn't do it ourselves in the way that the cloud services can manage it.
Yep.
Yeah, let alone access everywhere, which
right.
is really great. So let's go to these next thing are kind of managerial principles for leaders, Mark. And the first one is expect surprise, right? But prepare for uncertainty. So how would you interact with that principle?
You know, I think it's right on. I think that most of the writers right now, most of the people who are doing research on cybersecurity and security in general, I think the common theme out there is it's not if you're going to get hacked, it's when you're going to get hacked. You have to expect that something's going to happen, right? One of your staff members is going to bring a USB drive into your system, and even if you have firewalls and all these fail safes and all this crazy stuff for security goes, you can't protect from the guy that brings it in, walks it through your door on a flash drive, plugs it into your network, and bang, the bad guys are into your network. So yeah. I think you have to just kind of expect that it's going to happen. And, you know, we're big proponents of having a written business continuity plan that is tested on a regular basis. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's important for the management team in a business to sit around a conference table and say, you guys rolled into work this morning. You've got police tape all around your building. You have no access. What are you going to do?
Got it.
What are you going to do? Who's going to call your customers? Who's going to call your vendors? Who's going to call the press and make sure that everybody doesn't freak out and start, you know, going crazy? And most businesses don't go through that exercise. Most businesses don't have a solid business continuity plan. So that's kind of just sticking your head in the sand, just pretending like it's not going to happen, and it is.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And that's why it has to go to the CEO level these days. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the next principle is create feedback loops and adaptive systems. How does that apply in cybersecurity?
I think it's important, you know, within an organization, you have to continually get you have to have your finger on the pulse of what's going on, right? You need to create policies and procedures that dictate how are people going to use our data, right? So I've got my company data. I've got a bunch of people out there with laptops and cell phones. My data is all over the place, right? Mm-hmm. I need to make sure that the company, that the people who are using the data, my team really understands what our backup strategy is, why it's important to do certain things, put things in certain places. And just make sure that we've got a handle on where that data is at and what's going on with it.
You bet.
So,
because it's a constantly changing environment.
Exactly.
Right? So
yep.
Adaptivity is critical
yep.
to this. Right?
For sure.
Yep. So let's go to the last one here, Mark, which is foster trust and reciprocity with other organizations you are connected with. How does that apply?
Yeah, I think the best illustration of this right now is with the companies that provide antivirus protection for us. They all work very closely together to identify viruses. It's even though all of them have their own products and their own things that are out there, right, where they're trying to protect people. If one of these companies finds a virus or discovers a virus out there in the wild, they immediately share it with all of the other companies, and all the other companies become aware of it and put the patches in place so that those can be downloaded. And if that wasn't happening, you might have one company that had full protection for all the viruses that are out there and another company that didn't.
Right.
And that's crazy, right?
Yep.
If I'm the CEO of a business or the CFO of a business, C-level person, and I've discovered a great policy or process or something, it behooves me to share that with the other business owners in my community, because when we're all strong together and we kind of keep the threats out of our networks and we share those resources and those responsibilities, it just makes everybody stronger.
That's right.
Right. And there's really no advantage for if I don't share that with my competitors or whatever that is. It opens the door. If that door is opened in their environments, the potential threat is there in my environment also, right? I'm just right across the street. I'm using the same resources. So it's really important that we all kind of get together on this and try to figure this thing out.
You bet.
The big scary animal.
This is great, Mark. And one last thing I want to ask you, how would people get a hold of you or Imagine IT if they wanted to talk further about this?
Yeah, you know, our website is www.imagineiti.com.
ITI.com, yep.
Yep. Phone number is 952-905-3700. I think those are probably the best two ways to get a hold of us. We've always got somebody answering the phone, and be more than happy to talk to anybody.
Good. It's Mark Miller, if you want to get straight a hold of Mark there, so that would be great.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Yeah, it's great fun.
Yeah. And one of the things I want to talk about kind of as we close here is the last point that Mark made, and that is even though business is in competition with each other, when we're all interconnected, there's things where we have to be collaborative, and this is really one of those places where we are interconnected, whether we like it or not, and that's just true of the human body. It is interconnected. It's not, is it I want to be or I don't. Is it the very reality is interconnected, right? And so this is where some of the one another in commands in the New Testament are so critical here, and this is one of the big ones, is sharing with one another, right? Protecting one another, supporting one another, the literal commands. But what we're saying is that an interconnected world, collaboration, and thinking bigger than just the individual unit is just critical. And cybersecurity is probably our biggest besides the environment, our biggest single kind of interconnectivity realities that we have to work together on in our world. And that's becoming obvious the bigger we get and the more these kind of things become threats to our world. So it's a great example of why the agile human body and the interconnectedness of that is really the right metaphor to be thinking about, especially when you're talking about protecting us from outside threats. Well, you've been listening to Working with Purpose today with David Stark and Justin Royer, and thanks to Mark Miller for being on here. We hope you'll tune in next week. We're going to be talking to a person from Webroot, and Webroot's going to be answering these on the same kind of questions on what they're dealing with and trying to protect us from all of these threats that come from the outside. Once again, you can get all of our podcasts at davidstarkcollective.com. You can also find us on Twitter at Stark Collective. You can also go to iTunes under Working with Purpose, listen to all of our podcasts. We'd love to have you give us feedback there. And thank you for taking time today. After next week, when we're with Webroot, we're going to do some summarization about this whole area of cybersecurity, some basic principles for every CEO and leader. Thanks for listening today.